Good evening, everybody. Tonight's class is dedicated to Refuah Shelema for Moshe ben Esther Shweki by the Shweki family. Now, it's something very interesting about time. There's an American pastime called killing time. We love to kill time. And boom, what the ones, man, they eat, every day they eat that, they want to take it as shohet, they want to take it out. The problem is, you don't kill time. Time kills a person. Because every minute, you're a minute older. Get the kid away from the door, close the door, let's get rolling here. And when it says, Vayu chaye sara, me'at shana, v'sim shana, v'sheva, v'sim shana, chaye sara, v'ashia shana, chaye sara, says, kulam shavim mitzovah. They're all equally good. And there's many pirushim, what he means by equally good. One, of course, goes by the attitude of a person. A person can feel that life is difficult. It's Tom Hastin. Some days are good, some days are bad. Can somebody close the door? Some days are good, some days are bad. I mean, yesterday I got a big order, and it's a profitable order. I even have the goods, and the customer pays. So imagine, that's the magic order. It doesn't happen too often, but there is such an order. You can keep dreaming about it. So they have to order, the customer pays, good credit, everything. You have the goods, it's on time, everything, dream order. 2 days ago, children, out of the shul. Out. Thank you. The schoolyard is in back of the shul. So they have a situation where people find out that they got a bad day. They lost some money in the stock market or business. And so they say, well, how was this week? Come see, come sa. Some good, some bad, but Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. I walked around saying Baruch Hashem. Do they mean it? I don't know if they can say that, but live Shalem. I mean, ask a retailer. We're also happy. Shabbat, 65 degrees, 68 degrees in November. I've been more wet on Halon. They're killing themselves. They got ski suits and ski jackets and scarves and hats and gloves. They're not selling anything. So one guy today was good, so one guy today was bad. So it depends on your perspective. Every day was good from the way she looked at it. Did she have an easy life? Who votes she had an easy life? Did you ever have a husband in the kiruv business? You remember the day the three angels came dressed as people, what she went through? Come on, honey! Yes! That was a hot day. If it wasn't hot, that would be every hour. Somebody knew, remember, the little tent with the four doors. Every day, people come in. Who did he bring home? He didn't bring home the President of the United States. He didn't bring home ambassadors. He brought home people from the subway. He meets the guy in the subway, brings them home for dinner. Not fair. Hazita. And what's a wife? A wife wants to be a mother. 90 years old. She's first having a baby. How many years did she suffer and pray and cry? On top of it, when she got the idea of giving Hagar to her husband to marry, and she had a child right away, as we learned, it was her second pregnancy. The first was a miss due to the Ayin Hara of Sarai Menu, but you have to listen to last week's tape to figure that one out. But in the end, she did have a baby 13, 14 years before Sarah. And all of those years, she's making fun of her. And the word goes out, it's not really Abraham that has the problem, it's Sarah. And she's a beautiful woman, so you think that's good. They come, her husband says that she's 65 years old, she finally settles in, she gets used to the routine, they're converting thousands of people every month, she keeps the book, she's in the kitchen, she's cooking Sarah ba'oil, she's in the tent day and night working. He tells her, let's move, new location. We're going out of town. We're moving to another place. Where? I don't know. Hashem said, pack up. She packs up everything. You know what it is for a wife to move? We don't move. The wife moves. So they get there. He travels all around. He picks a place to live. He sets up. He sets up the new business, the kiruv business. He's getting gas. Come on, we're going to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, the king of Dukta. They come back. Pidishtim, Abimelech of Dukta. Then she finally has a child, Akedah. Now, Ishmael in the house, she has chinuch problems. Everything she does is trouble. Come Dashi, Kolam Sharim Mitzvah. Every day she had was equally good. What do you mean equally good? Depends how you look at it. If you accept what Hashem gives you as an opportunity for growth, if you accept that Hashem is perfectly good, and all He wants to do is to do good for people, and sometimes the people need something that's a yisurim, something that's an affliction, something that's a discipline. You know, a father, when he disciplines a child and he doesn't give him the candy, the child had a bad day, he thinks. But the father knows that's what's best for the child. So the fact that he didn't give the candy, or that he punished him and he hit him, and the child's crying, the child thinks, my daddy hurt me. It's a bad day, I'm crying. Is it bad? You're the father, what do you say? It's a good day. So when you understand, everything that Hashem does is for the best, then you see the days as perfect. You see every day is a good day. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances of the day are. There's a famous story in the Gemara Berachot about Rabbi Akiva was traveling. He's traveling, he has a rooster, a donkey, and a candle. You know, some flint, a lighter, one of those disposable lighters. And he comes to a place, and he sees it's getting dark, it's almost sunset. He goes into the town, he knocks on the first door, can I stay here? No, can I stay here? No, this hotel, booked. Nobody accepts him. So he goes out about 2 miles from the city, he settles his camp, he settles down, and he goes to sleep. Doesn't bother him. Call my David Rahmanah. The Tarabid, whatever Hashem does is good. Nothing's bad. So he sits down, he lights a fire. He starts to cook his meal. All of a sudden, a wolf comes along. Eats his chicken. Another animal comes along. Kills his donkey. What's he going to do tomorrow? He has no chicken to eat. He has no wolf and no donkey to ride. I figure if he has a fire, he'll keep warm. The wind comes, blows out the fire. He tries to lighter it out. Everything that happened, did he complain? When the donkey got killed, Gamzu letova, whatever Hashem does is good. When the chicken got eaten, Gamzu letova. When the fire got blown, he falls asleep on the ground. It's a little chilly, dark, he's alone, but it doesn't bother him, because he knows it's the best. He hears some noise, he rolls over in his sleep, noise, but he goes back to sleep. He wakes up in the morning, he figures, now I'll go back to the town. I got to get transportation. I got to get food. He walks back into the town. He sees marauders came. There was a pogrom. And they wiped out the town. They killed or captured all the people. They burned down the houses and they killed everybody. He saw Komad if the donkey brayed from the noise, or if the chicken or the rooster made noise, they would have spotted him. If they looked out and saw the fire, they would have spotted him. He realized Hashem did all of that so he could sleep safely outside the town away from the trouble. Did Rabbi Akiva know that in advance? No. But he was a person that would say, whatever Hashem does for the best. Therefore, he accepted on the spot. So to him, there's no good, there's no bad. Sarai Meir HaShalom, when Hashem says, Kulam Shavim LeTovah, every day was good, because she didn't care what happened. Whatever happened, that's what's good. The order is good. The cancellation is good. The cold weather is good. The warm weather, also good. Whatever Hashem wants, I accept and I understand it's the best. And that's a very hard test. Many things that happen in life are very difficult. It seems like in the last 6 to 12 months, everything we hear it's shocking. It shakes your sensibilities between the events in Eretz Yisrael, between the community events of health and problems that we hear with people that we know personally, with business problems that people have. We can't believe some of the things that we hear, and it's supposed to shake you. But even if, Chas v'Shalom, lo aleinu, the bad news involves someone we know very closely, or even one of us, Chas v'Shalom, we do have to understand called Avid Rahamana Litabadi. All that Hashem does is for the best. We have to look for the best. And if we can't find it, that's okay too. Except. Go on further. Abraham Avinu buys the Ma'arat HaMachpelah from Ephron, and he settles in, buries his wife, and he realizes that he's getting older, that the sovereignty of the Jewish people is going to have to pass to his son Yitzhak. And Hashem told him, Ki Yitzhak Yikarei Hazara. Yitzhak is going to be the line, not Ishmael, that's going to bring the Jewish people, Eretz Yisrael, the Torah, and Mashiach. Babel is not married. So he has to find a woman that's suitable to marry his son, Abraham. I mean, Yitzhak. He calls in his Eved. His Eved is Eliezer. And he tells him, Simnaya Zechata Hadirechi. I want you to swear to me, Tashbiacha Hashem, in the name of Hashem, that Lo Tikach Isha L'Ani V'Not Kenani, Asher Anochi Yoshev B'Kilbo. I don't want you to take a child, a girl, for my son, from the Kenani. Ki Elelzi V'Emolachi Telech. I'm going to tell you what you have to do. You have to go to my birthplace, to my land, and go back to where my family was brought up, V'Lakachta Isha L'Ani Yitzchak. And you'll take a wife for my son Yitzchak. Maybe perhaps the woman will not want to come with me. Imagine, we all know what happened subsequently. All the children know what happened. He went to the well, he made a test, he told Hashem, listen, I don't know who's the right one, but I want you to make sure that I'm matzliach, so I'm going to stand by the well and I'm going to ask a girl for water, and she tells me, sure sir, have some water. Now I'm going to give you camel. I know that's the girl for your talk. So imagine, after all of that, if he was successful, which he was, he tells us, maybe, with all of that, her or her family, she won't be able to come. What do I do then? Comes Abraham and says, he gives a plan. Should I take Yitzhak to her? Abraham says, Chas v'shalom. Yitzhak is a korban from Akedah. He can never leave Eretz Kenan. He has to stay here. And he can't go back there. This is our land over here. So you're not allowed to take him back. She has to come here. And if she doesn't, Hashem Elokei Hashemayim, Asher Kagit Avi Etzmonati, Hashem told me to do it. I trust Hashem to do it. But if it doesn't work out, deal's off. Your promise, your swear is not a swear. You're clean. One thing, don't take it. Now, we see that this parasha is very unusual, and that the Torah is very terse, very concise, doesn't have one extra letter, and yet, if you read the parasha, some people find it very boring. He finishes the story, Laban comes out to meet him, Laban takes him home, he sits him down, he says, Faddes, wait lahmajin, wait kibbe, have something, bazazan, have a drink. He tells him, no. No food. He tells him, I can't eat. What I have to do, he feeds the gemalim, they wash the feet, they put in front of him to eat, I'm not going to eat. I have to talk first. He's lucky he did it, because they put poison in the food. They wanted to kill him. He didn't eat it because he wanted to speak first. And in the end, Betuel ended up eating it because the malach switched the plate. And Betuel died, and Laban took over the family. He says, I'm Abraham's Eved. And he starts to tell the entire story over. So that doesn't waste time. Yafes Yahatan. The rabbi teach us the speech is made by the Abadim of the Avot is even nicer than words of Halakha and the other Chumashim. And so therefore we're Ma'arich in the whole story. But our rabbis watched and they saw several minor changes. And they, in those changes, learned out different things. And there's one very important thing here. In the same Pasuk I just read you, what if the girl won't want to come? Ulai lo tove Aisha. It says later on, Ba'omar al-Adoni, Eliezer tells Lavan and Betuel, I said to my master Abraham, Ulai lo telech ha'isha acharai. Maybe the woman won't come with me. Maybe she won't come. Comes Rashi over here and says, Ulai lo telech ha'isha elai kiti. When you spell out Ulai in the Torah, it should be Aleph, Vav, Lamed Yud. Ulai. Anybody who speaks the language knows. In the first place, when it actually happened, it says Ulai and it's spelled Aleph, Vav, Lamed Yud. Over here, it says Vayomer Adoni Ulai Aleph, Lamed Yud. Says Rashi, Aleph Lamed Yud is Eli, to me. So, Teddy tells me what's the diff. Ulai, Eli, ah, Rashi tells us. But, Haytalo le'Eliezer. Eliezer had a daughter. V'haya mechazeh limso ila. He's looking for an opening. We say, and that's not what the word means in him, but that's what he was looking for. She'yomaru Abraham mechnot ilai la'asiyo bito. Let me find a way that I can get Abraham Avinu to agree that my Rosh Yeshiva's son will marry my daughter. Not a bad idea. So he says, Ulai, she won't want to come. Amar Abraham. Abraham tells him, Beni Baruch, Ata Arur, my son is blessed. And you're cursed, you're from Canaan. Noah cursed, Arur Canaan, the famous scene of the cover-up with the robe. He didn't cover him. He said, you called your brothers to laugh at me, you're cursed. So the people of Canaan are cursed. The Ein, Arur, Midabek, Bebaruch. Something that's cursed is like oil and water, they don't stick. They don't mix. He shoots him down immediately. So this chidush, that in the back of his mind, Eliezer was thinking of marrying the daughter, is not brought in the point where the story happens. It's brought in the point where the story is being told over. So the question is, fine, it's spelled with a vav in the first place, it's not spelled with a vav in the second place, because there's a difference, we learn this thing that he wanted his daughter to marry. Why didn't Rashi tell us this dirasha when it was happening? Why did he wait until the story is done and over to tell us this dirasha? Good question. Everybody with me? Everybody got the question? You have a dirasha. It's based on a difference in the spelling. You could tell me it the first time and tell me it was spelled differently further on. How come? Because he had a daughter. There was once a great rabbi. And this great rabbi was Rav Chaim Volozhin. And Rav Chaim Volozhin judged the case. The Uven and Shimon. The Uven and Shimon had a case, a problem case, and that case was one of money. And the rabbi sat down, he listened to the two sides of the case, and he saw that it looks like the Uven is right and Shimon is wrong. So he judges this based on his feelings, according to Halacha, that the Uven has to collect from Shimon, Shimon has to pay the Uven. Shimon gets very excited. Rabbi, how could you rule this way? It's incorrect. This is not the way the Halacha is. I know I'm right. And now you're ruling against me, making a big mistake. But Rabbi, you are Rav Chaim Volozhin, and I realize how great you are, and therefore I'm going to pay, but I want you to know, I know that you're wrong. So the man respectfully paid, but he really felt the rabbi was wrong. It wasn't long after that this same man, Shimon, the one who lost, was in a class of Gemara with Rav Chaim Volozhin. And they're learning in Masechet Nizakim, in the Masechtot that have to do with business and money, the businessman's favorite section of Gemara, and they're learning it, and they learn a case, and the guy is patur. Says Rav Chaim to this man Shimon, what would happen if the case was different in this one detail? What if the guy did this instead of that? He said, that? But I chayav, 100%. He's chayav. He would owe it. The rabbi looked at him with a little grin and said, "Isn't that your case?" The man blushed a little bit. He said, Rabbi, exactly. He said, so how come you're able to accept my words now about this case in the Gemara, and you couldn't accept my words in the Beit Din? He tells him, Rabbi, in the Beit Din it was my money. What's the point of the story? In the Beit Din it was my money. I'm nogeya badavar. I have an interest in the case coming out my way, and therefore I'm blind. I cannot see any justice that can say I lose. But when you're talking about a case in the Gemara, Peloni Almoni is suing Peloni Almoni, I can give you the clearest judgment possible. There's a big difference when I'm nogeya. In the beginning, Eliezer has this thought, I want my daughter in the end to marry my Rebbe's son. And I think she's a wonderful girl. She grew up as my daughter in the yeshiva, the Beis Yaakov of Sarai Menu. What's finer, much better than the people I'm going to find worshipping Avodah Zarah, where my Rebbe came from, Abraham. Aram Naharayim. They threw him in the furnace for believing in Hashem. I'm sure my daughter is finer and more suited. And he starts to calculate. But he's blinded by the fact that he's no geya badava. You know, it says there's a lot of ways to say perhaps. There's ulai, and there's pen. Hishameru lachem, pen yiftele lachem. Pen means maybe your hearts will sway. Pen, tashuvu. Maybe you'll go back. Pen means maybe. But pen means maybe something bad. Ulai means maybe something good. He didn't say, pen lo tovei ha'isha. He didn't say, perhaps it'll be bad and the girl I find won't want to come back. He was thinking, ulai, it'll be good if she doesn't want to come back. A little biyuk in the Lashon. So we see he was thinking it then, but why does the Torah reveal it to us later? Because he was so blind to the fact when it was happening, that he didn't know he was thinking that. He was just, I'm only trying to help us. What happens if the plan goes through? What's the backup plan? Abraham Avinu has an answer I'll discuss in a minute. But he tells him, what's the plan? He thinks he's really discussing with his boss the reality and a plan for bringing a wife to Yitzhak. He doesn't realize his prejudice is blinding him to the fact that he really doesn't want it to work. But once he sees the water come up from the well to Rivka, he sees Rivka as the Baalat Hesed. He sees all the miracles he saw at the well. He sees all the midot of Rivka. And he himself realizes that this is what Hashem wants. And this is the right girl. And my daughter is Kenan. Be'en Baruch Medabek. Be'en Aruch Medabek Be'baruch. She can't. It doesn't go together. Once he clarifies that in his mind, he says, Eli, I realize now I had a motive then. Just like the man said, Rabbi, when I was in the court, I couldn't see. But when it's not my money, I could see. This thing called Negi'ot, this thing called being Nogeya Badavar, a party to the case, is very dangerous in our own performance day to day. En Adam Lo'e B'Negei Atzmo. A person never sees his own faults. I mean, you're perfect, right? I'm the guy with a problem. In fact, everybody sitting here figures the guy sitting next to him has the problem, but I don't have the problem. Because a person cannot see, and it's a principle, you just can't see your own flaws. I think that's why he gave us a wife. She tells you everything you do. You don't get a break. Ezer Kenegdo. What's Ezer Kenegdo? A helpmate that's against you. If you're my helpmate, you're on my side, why are you against me? Well, I'm wearing a tie. Do I know if there's a stain on the tie? I don't know. Only a person seeing the opposite side of the table can tell me if there's a stain on the tie. That's like that game you play. You cover the guy's tie, tell him what color tie you wear. He doesn't remember what he put on in the morning. So you have a wife, and you have a chavruta, so to speak, in life, called your mate, and your mate is there to help you see nege'atmo. Because no person can see their own flaws. So now we're supposed to improve and judge ourselves So you need outside help to help you see what's wrong. That's why it pays to open Sifrei Musar with somebody. In fact, it's brought down in the books that one time a man wanted to know if he could play chess on Shabbat. And he asked his Rebbe, he said, Rabbi, I looked it up and I found, he says, don't tell me what you found. He says, you want to play? You're never going to find it asur. Because you want to play, you can't open it. If there was a one line halakha, asur to play chess on Shabbat, you wouldn't find it. You would interpret that, asur to play chess on Shabbat underwater if you're blind lefty. But it doesn't mean me. Me, maybe it means you're carrying, maybe it means you're playing with a gore. Me to play chess in my house with my wife, it's okay. So we won't be able to judge our behavior without an outside person. There's another way this works for your benefit. Listen to this one. I love this Darasha, I heard one. I don't remember where it just popped into my head. It says, you should love your neighbor, your friend, like yourself. Listen, I'm number one, everybody else in second place. You want me to love him second? I'll love him second. I can't love him more than myself. You know, if the plane is crashing and there's one parachute, that's where the friendship ends. I love the guy, but, you know, what have you done for me lately? We can't, it doesn't work. So, but what's the haftarah ha-kamocha? You see somebody does something. You feel they were selfish. You feel they hurt you. You feel they took from you. You feel that they're no good because they did something. If you did it, would you think it was wrong? No. En adam ro'eh b'nikatmo. A person doesn't see his own flaws. Come to Torah and command, ta'avtal re'acha kamocha. When you deal with your friend, look at him as if he was you. If you did it, would it be wrong? No, I don't do that. Then he didn't do it either. You have to look at the acha kamocha as if he's you. If you see your friend like you, you won't see any flaws in him. You won't see any negatives in him. You'll only see good in him. Adam Enolo Ebenig Asmo. A person doesn't see his own flaws. That's the lesson that Abraham, and now, the only reason it's told last is because only at that point, after he realized it was a dead issue, that it's really correct and wrong for his wife, for his daughter to marry, correct not to marry the son of Abraham, then he could finally see the truth. You know, then, I said ulai. Then I had a motive. Now I see differently. There's another thing we see that I mentioned in the other class. I just want to expand on a little bit. That we're all business people. And we all believe in making a plan. You're going to see a customer. You're buying a building. You're putting out items. You're opening a new store. Everybody who does business makes a plan. What's your business plan? And whatever your plan is, you always have what if. What if the plan doesn't work? What do we do then? It's called contingency plan. If it doesn't do A, then we'll do B. We see here the most important decision for Abraham at this point in his life is to choose the wife, the next of the Imahot, the successor to Sarah in the kingdom of Abraham and Sarah. You're going to have Yitzchak and X. Who's the lady? And he has to choose it, and he sends the Eved, and the Eved, sure, Eliezer has a question. And you know what Eliezer is? Not Adam Pashut. We think Eliezer, slave. Unfortunately for us, we think slave, Chadami. But Eliezer was Damesic Eliezer. Dole umashke mitorat rabo. Dole means he draws the wisdom of Abraham. Umashke, and he feeds it to others. From there, our rabbis see he was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Abraham. Not only that, he says that Azekan Beto, that he looked like Abraham Avinu. He became so much like Abraham Avinu in Midot that he began to look like him. HaMoshe B'chol HaShelo. Moshe B'chol HaShelo, the rabbis teach us, he had control over his Yetzirah. Even the Yetzirah he controlled. And yet, this man is not able to control the youth, but he does come up with a good question. Abraham, in Lot of Aisha, What am I going to do? So Abraham tells him, okay, if she doesn't come, nothing you could do. He said, well, maybe I'll take Yitzchak back. So take Yitzchak back, Chas v'Shalom, you can't take him back. Well, if I can't, if I find and she won't come and he won't go there, then what do I do? What's the contingency plan? Good question. You wish you had a manager like that in your store. You wish you had a vice president in charge of finance. And if we don't get the loan, what are we going to do? What other financing is there? You wish workers would think that way. Eliezer's a very Hashuv person. He thinks that way. What does Abraham Avinu tell him? I guess then we can't do it. Hashem Elokei HaShemayim, the one who took me here, brought me here, promised me, who is Shach Malachot HaFanech, Hashem will take care of it. That's the contingency plan. That's the contingency plan. The contingency plan is we do what we have to, Hashem takes care of the rest. People are too smart for their own good. Hashem wants us to follow the Shulchan Aruch. He wants us to do what we're supposed to do. And we can't be too smart for our own good. True, Elias. What you're saying is correct. This is what should be. And if it doesn't work, I don't know. But I got to do what I got to do. Amram, the father of Moshe, hears a decree. Kol ha-ben ha-yilod, ha-ra'at ha-shlichut. Every child that's born will be thrown. Any male child will be thrown. That includes the Egyptians, by the way. They threw Egyptian babies too. They didn't know who the Mashiach was going to be. He didn't want any Moshiach. Every male child in Mitzrayim was thrown in the river. Amram says to his wife, Yocheved, why should we be married? We be married, we have laws of Tarat and Mishpacha, we have laws of Onah, you're going to have a baby. If it's a boy, they're going to throw him in the river. So he divorces her. They separate. They separate. Comes Miriam, the child, tells her father, your decree is worse than the man, than Paro. Paro gazar al zicharim. Inte. The next command, you had the women too. If you were married, maybe you have a girl, maybe you have a boy. Your gozer and everybody, your gadol ador, everybody's copying you. Everybody's leaving their wives. Am Yisrael, what's going to be? So he went back, he had Moshe, the rest is history. What did she tell him? You have an Islam. Who are you trying to outsmart? Well, that? He told you, Peru, Uzum, and Ur Ta'aref. Had you? You do it, and you're finished. The Gemara, Chizkiyah HaMelech. The Gemara Berachot, Avyut. Payavo HaNavi, Elisha. He comes to the Melech. He tells him, Mot. Can't say that now. I don't talk to my friends that way. He says, you're going to die, he tells him. V'lo techeh, and he won't live. Wow. Die and not live, the same thing, no? If he's dead, is he alive? No. So he tells him, why do you say die and not live? Yamud v'olam hazeh v'olam hapa. Five-year-old children knew the laws of Tahara and Tum'ah, the most complicated laws of Mishnah and Gemara. They knew halacha b'maaseh because he kept lights burning in the Bet Midrash all the time, and people studied from Dan to Be'er Sheva Torah all the time. This tzaddik of a king is going to die. He tells the Nabi, what are you talking about, me? He tells him, yeah. Lo asakta b'viriyah b'riviyah. You didn't get married, you didn't have children. Oh, I know what you're talking about, but I had a reason. I saw Beruah HaKodesh, my children are going to be bad. I'm going to have a son named Menashe, he's going to be the king, he's going to lead the people to Avodah Zarah, Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. So I figured if I don't have children, the nation's better off. He tells them, B'kavshed Rahmana Malach, what are you meddling in Hashem's business? Is that your business? Who are you going to have for a son? What is he going to do? What's going to happen in 200 years in the Beit HaMikdash? Is that your business? Your business is Peru, Urdu, Meru, Ta'arif. You have a mitzvah to get married and have children. He says, okay, you win. The argument is good. Give me your daughter, the daughter of Elisha, good credentials. And I'm the king from Bet Yehuda. Sadiq king marries Sadeket, daughter of the Navi. Maybe we'll get lucky. So he marries her. And they have children. He has two boys. He says, you know that? I'm going to spend all my time on chinuch and my children. Maybe I'll teach them to be good. He puts the boy on his shoulder. He puts the other boy on the other shoulder. He walks them to the Beit Midrash. No car service. No bus. He takes them. One day they're walking. Menashe gets excited. He throws his brother down on the floor and breaks his skull open and kills him. Menashe grows up and he becomes the king. And sure enough, Abu Dazara, before you know it, two generations later, Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. Who started it? Menashe. Was Hizkiyahu right? Yes. His Ruach HaKodesh, he saw the truth. What did the prophet tell him? Because Shede Rahamana Malach, there's a story about Rav Chaim Volozhin. Again, second time tonight. I guess he's the number one in the class tonight. Rav Chaim Volozhin, Zecher Tzadik, Kadosh Bracha, was the first yeshiva of the modern system. Mir and Chaim Berlin and Telz and Lakewood, all these places come from the system he established about 250 years ago. 250 years ago. Time of the American Revolution. And he was in Russia, in a city called Volozhin. They call it Yeshiva Volozhin. All the Gidolim, the bright budding stars, the Iluyim, the top learners of the time, came to that yeshiva. The government decreed at that time that all schools, regardless of their nature, have to teach secular Russian subjects. Chaim Volozhin refused. Now, I'm not making comparisons to should we learn secular today. Forget that. Let's get to the point without starting to get prejudice here. White hat, black hat, college. I'm not getting to that discussion. So, Chaim Volozhin, the Gadol Hador of that time, felt it's not right for his yeshiva to be mixed with secular studies. That's not what the men are there for. They're there to hold up the word with Talmud Torah and build the next generation. So he refused. The government people came and said, if you don't listen, we're going to close the yeshiva. He said, fine. And he closed the yeshiva. They told the rabbi, what's going to be? How could you close the yeshiva? Not my job to open yeshiva, close yeshiva. My job is to do what's right, according to Shulchan Aruch, and I feel we shouldn't have secular studies. When you think long term, it was a disaster that the yeshiva closed. But you know what happened? 20 other yeshivas opened to replace it. And the yeshiva system was then in place. And eventually Volozhin reopened. He didn't worry about calculus. So I'll do 2 hours a day Russian. That's what they want. I'll throw them a bone. No, it's either right or wrong. I told a story before about the Ruskarov. Rav Mibrisk. It was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and his son Rav Velvel. Velvel was a famous Brisker Rav that lived into the 1940s and 50s in Eretz Yisrael. This rabbi, his father, was the great leader of the Brisk community. And they lived in Russia. And the people of the community told the Rebbe, the Chaim, they said, you know, your son Rav Velvel is a Louis, a very special person. He's going to grow to be the leader of the entire community of Brisk. You better learn Russian, just to speak Russian. He says, my son will not speak Russian. He said, but the leader has to speak. He says, I won't be the leader. I'm a rabbi. Let's say he's not the leader of the Brisker community. He'll end up somewhere, a shul, a community, be the rabbi. In Russia, you got to speak Russian. Otherwise, you can't be the head of a community. So he won't be the head of a community. Rabbi, if he's not the head of the Briskers, and he's not the head of the community, he's going to have to go to work. If he wants to work on King's Highway, he has to speak Russian. I mean, if he wants to be in business, he has to speak Russian. He says, he won't be in business. I said, Rabbi, your son, he's not the head of the Brisker community, he's not the head of any other community, and he's not in business, what's going to be? He says, so, I'll have a simple boy who knows Shas by heart. It'll be a great Tamid Chacham without the position, without the Parnasa. But he won't learn Russian. And he turned out to be the great leader of the Brisker community and one of the Gedolei HaDor through the 30s, 40s, and 50s in Eretz Yisrael. Huh? He didn't learn Russian. There's many times, gentlemen, we get into this trap. We know the halacha, and we have a combination of two things. Well, a lot of that is the Rasha, where I put my input. We had a Rasha about Ulai, said he was Nogea Badavar. And if you don't have somebody outside, you'll never see a fool. Very often, we, myself included, have major decisions to make. And now we have a halachic problem. First of all, we're Nogea Badavar. We have an interest. So if it says, can I play chess on Shabbat, we ain't going to find the answer. We're not going to find it on our own. We need somebody outside. Not only that, we come up with reasons, very logical, very true, very human reasons, why it won't work if I follow the halakha. Should boys and girls mix? What's the halakha said? I'm not talking about what the community say. What's the halakha said? No. I mean, at a certain age they reach, they shouldn't mix anymore. That's a very young age, by the way. It's not 38. So there's a very young age where they reach a certain amount of maturity, where boys and girls should not be in school together, and should not be in shul together, and shouldn't even be playing together. Dangerous. Dangerous for the soul and dangerous for the body. It's not a position you want to put kids in. But what do? We know that's the halacha. We know it's a pasuk in Tehillim. In Tehillim it says, "Zekenim im ne'arim." The elders should always be with the young, because the young will learn from the elders. Bahurim, the gam betulot. Bahurim separate, and there's also girls. Not together, not im, not together, separate. So we have Tehillim, we have Halakha, Lamaseh, about what happens? But, Rabbi, if they don't socialize, they'll go to the city. If they don't mix, they'll marry somewhere else. If they come up with a lot of different problems, they're going to come if I follow the Halakha. If I follow the halakha, I'm going to get in trouble. Let me ask you one question. In Hashem's business, what are you fooling around? Like the prophet told the king. You think you can judge? While you're in the position of being nogea, it's your kid, it's your situation, you're the one, you think you can judge fairly? You're a blind man. How could you, all your job is follow the halakha. How are you going to find what the halakha is? You got to ask somebody. Because you ain't going to find it. You'll find the heter, it's asur, and isur, it's mutar. That's the way people are. That's the way they're built. That's the lesson of this conversation between Eliezer and Abraham. There's a nigi'ut in everything. There's an interest in everything that you have to make decisions on. Therefore, you need outside help to decide. Because you're blind to the situation. And whose child is this? Alright, can we get it on the outside? So we have a lot of situations where we have to make decisions and we can't. We can't. Committees get together. They decide because of finances, because of logistics, because of dangers from the outside. We must behave in a way negative to the halakha. This room, we're praying here. The door to the ladies' section was in the men's section. And every time the door opened, everybody turned to look. Nishmat kol hai. Whoops. Baruch she'amar. Whoops. And best one is kadosh, 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 and you're looking. Who is she? How she said. But you know, it's nice. It's a young minyan. It's good for the boys to see the girls. They'll get married. So when somebody suggests, why don't we break the wall outside and make a door directly into the ladies' seats, These people object. It's not so bad, they can see. What's wrong with it? I get married. Good. Wrong. Is halacha and is practicality, and one has nothing to do with the other. Abraham Avinu has the whole Jewish people's future in his hands. He has to make a decision. She won't come, and he can't leave. So what's going to be? What does Abraham Avinu answer? Hashem Elokei Hashamayim. Hashem, the God of the heavens. He's running everything. It doesn't say Shamayim Ba'aretz here. He's the God of the heavens. He's running everything from upstairs. What we don't do down here, not so important. He took me from my father's house, I listened. I listened. He told me and he swore to me, I'm going to give this land to your children. Says Abraham Avinu, he's going to make sure the plan works. And if, just if, just if, she doesn't want to come. Nikita, you're clean from the promise and the evidence list. Fantastic. You're off the hook. No more worry. You have one job. Learn Shulchan Aruch. You have to learn Shulchan Aruch. And you have to atel l'charav. You have to have a rabbi that you ask everything. Rabbi, they sent me two checks. I don't know what to do. Should I send back the check? It's a tatat, it's a tatat. Call the rabbi. Rabbi, this thing came in, I got double shipped, I don't know what to do, I think I only got one invoice. Rabbi, a customer came in, they said this, I did that, now I have the money, should I return it? Don't decide yourself. You'll never find it asur to play chess on Shabbat. Not when the money's in your pocket and you have to give it back. Shohad yaver ene hachamim, certainly us. Got it? That's the lesson. That is another lesson. It's a lesson that comes in the beginning of the parasha, and it comes again at the end of the parasha. And it's a lesson that we have to understand daily. The beginning, it says, Shene Hayesara, Kulam Shavim Netova, and I gave you the Rashad. One of the Dirashot on that is that Sarah Imenu never wasted time. She was the Eshet Chayim Yimsah, from the Mikhraf, and if you go to the whole Eshet Chayim, you can say Sarah Imenu. She never wasted a minute. At the end of the parasha, it says, Ve'ele Yemeh Shene Chayi Avraham Asher Chayi. Ve'at Shana Shem Shana V'chemesh Shani. Your question becomes, what do you mean Asher Chayi? These are the years of the life of Abraham that he lived. Some of the years of his life. Isn't that he lived? Well, that doesn't have any extras. So why does it have this Asher Chai? And then it gives his age. The Gesher Chaim is a sefer on Lo Aleinu Avelut, on life and death. It has some philosophy in it, some sodot of the Zohar. And he says there's a difference between Arichut Yamin and Arichut Shanim. There's a difference between length of days and length of years. Very interesting. What's the difference? And he tells the story. What do we say? Ki biyivu yamecha viyosifu lecha shem. Good. Shenot chayim. Years of life. Yidbu yamecha shenot chayim. You're repeating yourself. You should have a lot of days. So that means you're going to have years of life. Days are made up to years. Years are made up of days. What's the difference? There was a man who went to a town. When he got to the town, he had cause to pass through the cemetery. Shortcuts. He's passing through the cemetery and he looks at the tombstones, the matzevot, and he sees something very unusual. In fact, he sees two things very unusual. He sees, number one, everybody in this city, I don't know what's wrong with it, but I ain't staying here long because they all die young. He sees one guy, 25, another guy 21, another guy 30, 16, 18, Valenu, What happened to Rabban Yashirin? What happened to 120? Nobody gets to 50 in this place. So, he notices another thing. He notices that it tells you he lived 25 years, 4 months, and 6 days. The other guy lived 21 years, 6 months, and 14 days. What's going on here? I never saw this much ever. So he goes into the village, he finds the Chavra Kadisha, and he asks the head of the Chavra, "You guys must be very busy, everybody here dies young. It's unbelievable. And I don't understand, why do you write such crazy ages? Every day, you put years, month, day?" Oh, she'ela gedola she'alta b'ni. You see, people don't die young here. But when we put the matseva, we only put the days they really lived. We put the days that they spent in Torah, Mitzvot, and Ma'asim Tovim. We don't put the days that they wasted. Relaxing. Killing time. We don't put those days on the matseva. So the guy you see, 25 years, 4 months, 3 days, those are the days he used. The other 50 he probably wasted. He probably lived to 80 years old, but he wasted his time. So when it says, "Vayu yemei shenei chaye Avraham, asher chai," and he tells you it's 175, it's to tell us Avraham lived every day. Sarah, kulam shavim etova, she lived every day. You know, I have a piece of artwork in my house. Beautiful piece of artwork based on Pirkei Avot. And it has Chabin Chamesh in the Mikra, and it has Shalosh Yisrael Mitzvot, famous Mishnah at the end of Pirkei Avot. And around the picture that the man drew of a clock and has all the symbols of all the things in the Mishnah, he die cuts in paper, cardboard, the following expression. Famous saying. Adam do'eg al adamim shelo. A person worries about his money. Ve'eno do'eg al hayamim shelo. He doesn't worry about his day. Adamim enam ozrim lo. The money don't help him. And lo aleinu, ask anybody who got sick or anybody who can't have children what money's worth. Zero. Ve'hayamim, the days, enam ozrim lo, they don't come back. This is a lesson that this man learned when he went to that cemetery. Let me read you Zohar. Woo! The Zohar HaKadosh Matzanu. Abraham Zaken Baba Yamin. Abraham is Zaken, he came with his days. Shekol Yamin. Mizeman Shinevra Adam Ubal Olam Hazeh. All the days that a person comes to this world, from the time he is created and he comes to this world, all the days omdim b'kiyumam. In other words, tomorrow already exists. The next day already exists. The person comes to the world, all his days come with him, even though he didn't live them yet. The day in this Zohar is a real thing. It's a hefer, it's called the day. Omdim b'kiyumam. Umazirim la'adam bechol yom. And the days warn a person every day. Shitnaheg b'derech ha-Torah. That he should behave in the ways of the Torah. Ukshiba hayom. And when that day finally arrives, umaziro. And he warns the person. Time for arbit. New day. Yashima, let's go. Make sure you use this day. And a person does a sin in regards to his master Hashem in Shammayim. This day goes up to heaven embarrassed. And it stands outside Gan Eden by itself. Till the person makes teshuva. The day is trapped outside. It's not here anymore, and it's not where it was supposed to go. In Zachar, if the person makes teshuvah, Shav Hayomim Komo. The day goes back to where it belongs. Ushkinet Gadim Kol Hayamim Shelo. And when a person's day is a call to testify for him, so he can take his days to Gan Eden, Otam Hayamim Shechata Bahem Velo Asa Teshuvah. Those days that a person sinned and didn't make Teshuvah for them, Chaserim Hem, they're missing. Oy lo ladam, vay leman, vay la lebanash. Woe is to the person, shechsir yamah b'fni ha-melech ha-kadosh, that missing days before the king, v'lo ish'ir lemala yamim sh'it'ater b'hem olam abba. Continues the Zohar. U'she'nitkarevim ha-yamim ha-ha-petirato l'fni ha-melech ha-kadosh. And after the person presses away and the days come before Hashem, in Sadiku Adam, Kishiyatam Olam, if the person was ruled righteous when he left the world, Nichnat Biyamim Behem Shehem Behem Ilubushe Kavod, Shemit Nabeshit Behem Neshama. Those days become the clothing of honor and glory for the Neshama. Oy Lola Adam! Shehaserim yamav lemala. Woe to the person whose days are missing upstairs. Kisherabsin lalbish and shemayim el shelo. Imagine a nice cold day in Shemayim and he got there without a coat, without a sweater. O azay otamim shepagam behem, vasabem averot, em haserim abeged shema bishemoto. One day is a sleeve, one day is a button, one day is the leg of a pant, one day is a sweater. They'll be missing. Because you can in Rabin Ayamim Shepagam Bayim. And how much more so if there are many days that are spoiled. V'lo yero b'melech paresh v'lam elyon. And he has nothing to wear at all in Olam Abba. Olam Abba lasts a very long time. That time is called eternity. The Ba'alei Musar tell us that if there was a beach, let's pick a small beach. What's a small beach? Manhattan Beach. Small beach. Relative, it ain't California. It ain't the Riviera. It's a small beach. Let's say we took the small beach called Manhattan Beach. And a pelican came to the beach. And the pelican picked up one grain of sand and took that grain of sand across the street and put it on the streets. And then it went back and got another grain. Put that on the street. And it started emptying the beach grain by grain of sand. How many thousands of years will it take that pelican to move the sand from the beach to across the street and clean the beach out of sand? We can't even imagine how many thousands and thousands of years that would take. Eternity is much longer than that. You want to go there without the clothes? You want to go there unprepared? Hayom la'asotam, achalik ha'be'asechal. This is the place. The Chidushi Arim said, when Hillel HaZeken said, Im ani la'asmi ma'alai, Ein ani li mili. If I'm not for myself, who's going to be for me? Im ani la'asmi ma'alai. And if I'm for myself, what am I? Right? And then at the end he says, "In lo achshav imatay." What does it mean? What's the connection? I'm not for myself. For myself. I'm for myself. I'm selfish. And what am I? But I'm not in that way. It's talking about a person's approach to life. When a person approaches life, you have to understand what Hashem did. Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Abba. We came here, and we have a ticket to Olam Abba. The ticket gets us in. No scooching, no paying off zero at the door. You're in. You came here, unless you're one of those who really, really blows it, you're getting in. Chazak Baruch, you're all getting in. You're happy? You're going to Olam Abba. Now the question is, where are you going to live? And how are you going to live? In Olam Abba. Depends. Hayom la'asotam, macharek ha'be'asacharam. This is the place for doing. Olam Abba for the door. Hey, go to it. Hamechin Shabbat. Yeah. If you cook on Friday, you eat. If you don't cook on Friday, you eat vegetables. Cold cuts. Will you have hameen? No, because you didn't cook. You have to cook before. Same thing with Olam Abba. Where are you going to live? You're going to have a nice place in Turnberry and a place in Yerushalayim and a place on East 4th Street and everywhere else. You're going to have all the right places, deal on the right block near the casino. You're going to have everything. Often the casino is better. You're going to have the right locations, the right houses, the right lots, the right God, the Versace of Olam Haba you're going to have. You're going to have the Cayenne of Olam Haba. You're going to have all the right goods, the plasma. You're going to have all the right goods. How are you going to get it over here? Chinuch Sha'arim says, the way to look at life is like a tapestry. Anybody have a nice fancy needlepoint kodacha? My wife spent about 2 years making me one. They buy the net. The net has different colors on it. Not too pretty, but it's a picture. Yerushalayim, Esh of Torah, stars, all kinds of things that represent Yahadut. And it's a beautiful net when completed. How does it work? There's red, there's blue, there's gold, there's green, there's colors. The woman buys the thread with a needlepoint needle and she starts. If the hole is beige, she puts beige thread. If the hole is blue, she puts blue thread. The hole is gold, she puts gold thread. They even spell out your name on top and they put it. David and they put it. After filling in all the holes, you have a beautiful piece of artwork called a needlepoint. It's a complete beautiful picture. They sew it onto the front of a kodacha and you have a beautiful bag to hold your talit and tefillin. Imagine now that the woman who's making this, someday she's in the mood, someday she's not in the mood. And she has a time limit. It's for his anniversary, it's for his birthday, and she's going to give it to him. So, she works, someday she does, someday she doesn't. So, when she's finished, she's about two-thirds done. Comes the day that she has to give it to him, she gives it to him. Tells her, what's this? Half done. She's not half, two-thirds done. But it's not pretty because you're missing things. Chiddush Sha'arim says, Hashem gave you life. Life is moments. A moment is that long. Once that moment is gone, there's another moment. Once that moment is gone, there's another moment. Moment. That's your life. What's the accumulation of all the moments? That's your tapestry. That's your needle. How beautiful it'll be? Depends on how you filled it. So you say, you know something? I have a shiur in Torah. I go. But I'm a little tired this morning. So I show up a half an hour late. What I was doing, I was listening to TV, I had CNN TV news, I wanted to hear about the bombing here, I wanted to do that, I took a shower, I shaved, I took it slow, I took a ride around the corner, I stopped for bagels to take home after shul, and I got to shul half hour late. The shul finishes half hour late, it's an hour shul. So, you know, I really feel guilty. I have to make it up. What? The guy's about to shul, the guy's good. At least he wants to make it up. Tomorrow, I'm going to learn an extra half hour. So tomorrow, he comes a half hour before the shiur, and he learns. And then he goes to the hour shiur, and he's there. He goes home and says, Monday I learned a half hour, Tuesday I learned an hour and a half, I netted 2 hours for 2 days, I'm even. Right? That good math? Wrong. Every has its own opportunity for greatness. Every is another needle point hole in your Olam Haba. And if you don't use it, Yamim Einam Chozrim. Days don't come back. True, on the next day, when you had the extra half hour, you think it's extra, you maximize the half hour of that day. You cannot make up yesterday, because yesterday had its own potential. And you blew it around. That day is chaser. In lo hashav, If I don't do it now, it's gone. And tomorrow, when this one comes, that's a different one, which has its own potential, and its own job, and its own success or failure. Im lo achshav, im atay. If not now, when? Very difficult concept that we have to keep in mind. Chaye tzara, kulam shavim l'tova. The life of a person, yimei shenei chaye. Years are made up of days. Days are made up of hours. Hours are made up of minutes. Minutes are made up of moments. And those moments, each one has its unique potential for greatness in your Olam Haba. Because you have a chelek Olam Haba. But what it's going to look like, which big azim you're going to wear, which house you're going to live in, what neighbor you're going to be in, which shul you're going to go to, which yeshiva you're going to learn in Olam Haba for eternity, which is a very long time. Longer, much, much, much longer than that pelican emptying Manhattan Beach. Baba Yamim is for special people. Baba Yamim is for people who realize the value of time. There's traps. There's traps. I'll give you a trap. Guy wants to do mitzvot lulavetum. Very important, no? He figures it's mitzvah, I say I want to do mitzvah to love and etrog. So, he calls his son, he says, Sonny, I'm in the shul, please bring me my lulav and etrog, I want to do the mitzvah. I want to do the sukkah of the shul. So, the son says, Daddy, I'll be there in 5 minutes. So he's waiting. He's waiting. He sees his friend, standing in front of the shul, and they start talking. Did you hear about the ball game? The stock market? What are you doing about business? I'm reducing, I'm cutting, I'm canceling orders, I'm buying more. What do you think of the president? What do you think of the war in Iraq? What do you think of the bomb in Turkey? His son comes. Baruch Atah Hashem, and the Russian son says, Manu! Anitirat Ulam. Did the mitzvah? About the 5 minutes. The 5 minutes outside, he thinks it's not time. Why? Because I'm doing a mitzvah when I get to Hefet. I want to put on tefillin, I can't find them. Or they're over there. Till I get them and come back, I figure that kind of time doesn't count. What about your needle point? How are you going to fill that time in? Haki balash about the bull game? Or while you're waiting outside, you tell the man, you know something? Hey David, listen to me. I heard a fantastic, we got a chidush this morning in the class, halakha I never knew. And he tells him a halakha, he says, no, it can't be. Yes, yes, come look, I'll show you. His son comes, but to the ladder, wait a minute, so we settle the issue, you're talking to the Torah now. The 5 minutes were spent, the needle point is full. I'll give you another one. People think, time on ma'avar ain't no time. Time in transit is not time. I'm going to do Bikur Holim. Mitzvah? Mitzvah? Going to Lo Aleinu Livaya. Mitzvah? I'm going to help somebody out. I'm going. I'm going to Shiur. Good? I'm going. So now, the fact that I have to sit on the subway for 40 minutes till I get there, figure time doesn't count. What do? You look across, see New York Post on the chair, Lo Aleinu. You pick it up and you read it. Even if you don't read page 6, you're dead. You wasted it. 40 minutes on the subway. The Yetzirah tells you, you're such a good guy. You know everybody else is going to parties and then you're going to do Bikur Cholim in NYU. You're such a good guy. And he pats you on the back as you read the newspaper. What happened to the 40 minutes till you got there? It's not part of the Shenei Chaye? Yemei Shenei Chaye? It's not part of your life? It is part of your life. But the Yetzirah tries to tell you, relax, you're going to do mitzvah. You're a good guy. So waste these minutes. Abraham Kol Yamav went with him. Sarah all these days went. Matai Yagil Ma'asai Ma'asai Abotai Abraham Yitzhak Yaakov. When will I be like them? When will I have the opportunity to live my life like they did? When will I be zocheh to understand Damim Einam Ozim Lo Damav Shel Adam, the money a person earns doesn't help him. Yamim Einam Ozim Lo, his days never come back. You want to be Baba Yamim? That's success. You want to come with your days to Olam Haba fully clothed in the finest that Hashem has to offer? You got to work here. You got to use every moment of time to maximize the potential into a great deed. Right now this class will end. You're going to go outside. You got to get home to go to Havdalah. Between here and there, what are you going to do? Depends. Now you say, what can I do? I can't walk in the street with a book in my hand. There's many mitzvot you could do on the way. First of all, you can hazer, as they say. You can go over what you learned. You can discuss it with a friend. I got a better one. This is one of my bus stop favorites, subway favorites. You're standing waiting for the subway. Someone once said, you know how you look? You look up the tunnel. You know, see the train coming? Yeah. Even if you're reading Tehillim, you look, is the train coming? Stop reading until the train coming? No one ever looked and made the train come. Looking down the track does not make the train come any quicker. The train comes when it comes. Keeping your eye on the Tehillim, that's good. Looking at the Chumash, it's good. But how about if you just stand there and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Ma'amin Becha Belev Shalem, Hashem, I believe in you with all my heart. Is that a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah. How often do you do that mitzvah? All the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe in you, and I mean that you're in control, I'm boteach in you, you're the one. How about Tzipit HaLishua? Is that a mitzvah? That's for the guy who's aggravated. That was for the guy who's calm. How about the guy who's aggravated? You stand on the platform and say, Borei Olam. Truth is, I can't take the subway anymore. I can't take the city anymore. I can't take the killing of Jews anymore. I can't take the Averot anymore. When is Mashiach coming? I want Yeshua. I'm waiting for your Yeshua. I know only you can solve it. Now you go to Shemayim. What did you do that minute? Sipita Yeshua. I was waiting for the Mashiach. Is that a mitzvah? How'd you do it? Instead of looking down the thing to see if the train is coming. That's how you do it. These are the things people have to understand are important. To use your time to maximum. Here's one a great man told me. His name was Jose Yosef Hamze Hazadik Libracha from our own community. It's about 22 years ago. We used to have a little room in the back of Brothers of Israel in Elbalon, New Jersey. We went there for the summer, and Mr. Faham Zecher Tzadik Livracha used to pray in that shul. We had a small community, not too many people, and the whole thing is 8-10 weeks. At the end of 10 weeks, after learning much from the great man during the summer, he called me over. He said, Ta'a, come here. Od, sit down. I sat down. And between Hebrew, Arabic, and English, I understood what he wanted. He asked me a question. He told me, when you go to a wedding, who's ready first, you or your wife? I told him, me. He said, sometimes or all the time. I said, we're only married about 10 years. But so far, she's never been first. He said, you're not unusual. In the next 40 years, it'll never happen. I'm learning Chochmah from the man all summer. I wonder, where's he leading? He says, do you ever get nervous? I said, not always, but I do get nervous. He says, don't. It's not good to fight with your wife. Besides, you could do much better. When you finish getting ready, go to your bookshelf and open a sefer and start learning. There'll be many benefits. I told him, like what?
says, first of all, a half an hour will feel like 5 minutes. Second of all, in those 5 minutes and half an hour, you will learn so much Torah because you won't waste your time. And from that you'll learn that any time you're waiting, you should be learning. And any time you think there's time that you're being delayed, it's not a delay anymore. It's an opportunity for learning. And I can tell you today, I did it. And when I was doing Daf Yomi, which I don't do anymore, but I did it for 10 years, how many times, waiting for my wife, waiting for the train, waiting for someone who promised me a lift, waiting for something to happen, I was able to get in 5 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, to complete my quota for the day. And that discipline taught me the value of time. And this parasha teaches the value of time. Time is an opportunity for growth and for building your stake and your home for eternity. Don't waste time on the shtuyot. Rabbim amarchikim et ha'adam en ha'boreh. Hashem put us in a place where there are many, many, there's no end to the things that come to amaze and confuse you, from the cell phone to the narrow phone as a camera and as a game, and it's in color. And it doesn't leave you alone. It buzzes and it vibrates and it rings and it shakes and it rattles and it rolls. Just to get you not to pay attention to what your life is about. And your palm is beeping and your BlackBerry is letting you know you have an email. And the phone's ringing and the train's coming and the plane has to go and the buyer's coming and the wife and the kids and the tuition. And everything's there to make sure you don't think about your yamin. To make sure you don't think about what life is really about. So maybe try an exercise. When this class ends, try and value the 1 minute following the class. I don't know if you can make 5. We're not used to it yet. Well, you know, you can't run a marathon. You can't run a marathon if you don't train. The vow of this class is to take the first minute, the first 60 seconds after this class, and rather than talk Haki Balash, silly, senseless chatter, greetings and hellos and goodbyes and what are you doing tonight, either mention to the person next to you something that you understood or didn't understand about the class, or stand still for a minute and say, Hashem, I believe in you with all my heart, and take that minute and make it valuable. If you could do 1 minute, maybe you can do 2. And if you could do 2, maybe you could do 3. But it's 21 years since that tzaddik, Alav HaShalom, got me into the training program. And many people say, why is your head always in a book? Because it's the best place for it to be. I could say that without a doubt. I can underwrite it, I can warranty it, and I can guarantee it. The best place is inside the Sefer of Torah. And if you have to settle second best, Alev Achem. Think with your mind and heart about Divrei Torah, about Emunah Hashem, and take every moment and make it a moment of Kiddushah and Tahara in this crazy world, so that when you get to the next world, you live in the right neighborhood, with the right friends, with the right rabbi, in the right yeshiva, in the right shul, with all the right trappings, to make your eternity a wonderful place to be. Amen. Ken Yirat.